The following is a presentation of the Ed Boston Podcast Network.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Ed Boston Podcast today. And we've been anticipating this interview that we've got for several days now. We've promoted, and we've got Bianca Ryan, the winner of the very first season of America's Got Talent. And she's recently appeared on America's Got Talent, The Champions. Welcome to the show, Bianca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, let's go right to season one of America's Got Talent. Tell us about the experience back, 13 years ago or so?
Yeah, it was about 12 years ago.
Okay.
Pretty crazy.
Talk about what that experience was like.
Yeah, so I was only 11 years old at the time, and it was a brand new show. So when I tried out, I had actually no idea what I was even trying out for. So it's pretty crazy to see, like, over the years how the show has, like, developed. And it's pretty cool to be on it in, like, in this new age and to be on AGT The Champions as an adult, because it's a completely different experience. It was just so cool to be able to get a second chance at, you know, my dream and performing in front of the American audience.
So you got to fulfill a dream early on, but it's hard to think that you could have imagined being the winner of a huge competition like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never thought that, you know, the first time around with America's Got Talent, I never thought that I was going to win even for a second. I didn't think that really there was a chance. Because it was a new show at the time and they were having all different talents, I just didn't think that they wanted another singer. So that was pretty surreal for me.
Now, fame at an early age, you were 11 then. Most 11-year-olds will never, ever get to experience what you did. What was it like as an 11-year-old to be on the Ellen Show, have Regis Philbin be the one who announced you as the winner? I mean, got to have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was completely blown away. For, you know, I don't think it truly ever even really sunk in for years, that experience and what had happened there. And, you know, to see Brandy on her feet when I was singing and to get a standing ovation from, you know, all the judges and the whole audience, it was just, you know, so amazing to me. And then, you know, right after winning the first season of America's Got Talent, I got to travel all over the world and tour and meet so many different people and so many different fans from all over, and have people, you know, in Germany singing the lyrics to my songs on my debut album that I did. And it was just, honestly, it was really just like a once-in-a-lifetime chance. So, I mean, I'll never forget it.
Was it hard to stay grounded as an 11-year-old with all of the fame?
Honestly, it really wasn't hard to stay grounded. My family, you know, really kept me living a pretty normal life. I went right back to school. I went to 7th grade, 8th grade, then I went to a public high school for creative and performing arts. So, you know, I've always just kind of been grateful to be able to live a normal life as well as living my dream.
Now, Simon Cowell wasn't a judge there on this first season, but he was certainly a big part of the show. Talk about your relationship with Simon.
So, yeah, Simon, I got to do an interview with Simon right after America's Got Talent, the first season when I won, and he was helping me out with my album. I was signed to Psycho Records, and I remember being so nervous to go into that interview with him, just because, you know, at that point, I had only known Simon from American Idol, and I know he was, like, the toughest judge. So I was really nervous to see what he was going to say. At one point in the interview, I remember he told the press, he said, you know, Bianca Ryan is potentially one of the best singers I've ever heard in my entire life. And I remember, like, my eyes almost, like, fell out of my face. It was just incredible. And I couldn't believe that he thought so highly of me and my singing.
And I'm skipping ahead because we've not talked about your recent appearance, but I want to go ahead and say this now anyway. The look on his face with America's Got Talent, The Champions, after your performance, he looks so proud of you, and that had to be a special thing.
Yeah, he does. You know, all my friends and my family were saying, oh my gosh, you know, look at the way that he's looking at you. He's so happy and he's so proud. And I watched that back too, and I was just like, oh wow, you know, like it really does feel amazing. I was so nervous if he was going to like, you know, my new voice and the new me. You know, it's been 12 years since I sang for him, you know, that close up, and so I was so nervous. I didn't know what he was going to think or if he was going to like my new voice, considering I had to get two, you know, vocal surgeries since then. To just see like him being, you know, so proud and so proud of my performance, I was just, you know, so thankful and so emotional.
You appeared several times on the program Praise the Lord. Your PTL appearances, are they a special time for you?
Oh, yes. I do remember those times a lot. I remember doing I did a Christmas special with them a few times as well. I just remember putting together all the songs I wanted to sing, and they were always so supportive of me, and my church was always so supportive of me, and it's just, you know, it's great to have, you know, a family that, you know, that's really there for you, mm-hmm. and they, you know, having them be there for me, whether I was in the spotlight or not in the spotlight, it was just, it's really amazing to have that support.
I have to chuckle a little bit. You're 24 now, right, Bianca?
Yeah.
And you made that sound like you were an older person looking so far back in the past.
yeah,
but
know.
That was just cute. I couldn't pass that up. You mentioned the surgeries that you had, a paralyzed vocal cord. That's got to be a huge part of your life that you would probably never wish on anybody. But take us through that time in your career.
It was really hard, honestly. I mean, I was singing on a paralyzed vocal cord for years, so I think probably since I was about maybe 13 or 14 is when I noticed something was wrong with my voice, and I took that all the way up to about, honestly, 18 years old before I went in to go see an ENT, you know, 18, 19, 20, I don't remember exactly. I remember it was a very long time, and I was almost giving up on singing because I was just so sick of it. It wasn't enjoyable for me to practice and to sing and to not hear the same voice or have it come out with ease and just struggle. You know, you should never just be struggling when you're singing. So, you know, I was pretty upset, and I was almost about to give up, and I finally went to an ENT, which was recommended to me. I went, and then I found out about my paralyzed vocal cord, and, you know, part of me was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to get vocal surgery, like I could lose my voice forever. But there really was a small part of me that was like actually relieved. And I know people are a little bit confused by that, but when you go through something like that for that many years, there is a kind of a sigh of relief because you can stop blaming yourself. You know, there was like a part of me that was like, oh my goodness, like it wasn't my fault. This wasn't me. You know, I wasn't crazy. So, you know, there was definitely some relief there as well. But I went through with the surgery, and it was a success. And unfortunately, about a year and a half later, I had to get a second vocal surgery because of something genetic. So I had blood vessels all over my vocal cords that I had to get lasered off. So it was harder the second time around because then I had something to lose because I was happy with the progress I had made in a year and a half. But I went through with it, you know. I was very trusting of it and of the doctor, and that turned out to be a success as well, and even since then, I only had about a year and a half to prep for AGT Champions, which is really hard, you know, to get my voice back in shape, and, you know, even just like a couple, I think it was about 10 months after the surgery, I was called in to sing on Broadway, and it was just, there was a lot of pressure last year, all throughout 2018, and I am happy that I said yes, though, and I didn't say no, like I probably would have the year before, uh-huh. because I was so afraid and, you know, didn't really have the confidence, but I'm happy to be in the place that I am now, and I'm just so thankful for the champions and AGT for bringing me back. It was just a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I'm not sure if people would really understand all of the speech therapy, having to relearn to talk. I know my wife, my wife had a stroke a couple of years ago and had to go through some intense speech therapy, and she didn't have to relearn to talk, but she had to make compensation for words that she couldn't say. Talk about that period and how difficult that had to have been.
Oh, it's extremely difficult because your brain is mature, and my brain was still, you know, 20, you know, in my 20s, and it's so crazy. You feel like you're kind of being treated like a baby, and it's like a baby learning to say words all over again. I remember I would go to, you know, speech therapy, and I would be like reading sentences and saying vowels, going over vowels like E, A, and I was like, in my head, I'm like, oh my goodness, like how can this be? I feel like I'm like a newborn child. This is insane, you know, to how far I worked with my voice my whole life, and I'm starting over. And I would leave some of the speech therapy sometimes, walk out and just break down crying just because I just couldn't believe, you know, how much work it was going to be, but I'm really glad that I really went through with it all, and I put in so much work into you know, starting over and getting back on my feet as quickly as I could. I knew I didn't want to be sitting around in recovery for years and slacking off and not doing my part and as much as I could. And I just, you know, I really was like, I'm going to do it. And I worked so hard, and so many people couldn't believe how much I had actually recovered in just only 10 months. Even after that, I was on Broadway. Mm. So, you know, that's not normal. And my doctor was so proud and just couldn't believe it.
My wife is sitting here next to me, and she just continues to nod at every new thing you say about the speech therapy. She had a difficult, she couldn't say, I love you. She would try to say that to me, and she would look, and tears would start coming down her face because she couldn't say, I love you. Her speech therapist taught her to say, I love you. And she could say that. She couldn't get the V out.
Mm-hmm.
Today, 2 years later, she can say, I love you, just like she had never missed. But when you said the tears would come down your face and you would break down, I know that's bringing back a lot of memories for my wife. And thank you for sharing that. Let's talk about America's Got Talent, The Champions, a second chance for you.
Yeah, it truly was a second chance for me. I never saw something like this happening. It felt like it was almost like a full circle. You know, I started there, and that's where, you know, the whole world found me. And then I get to come back 12 years later, and I'm still young enough to even be, you know, a famous singer. It's just so many people don't really get that opportunity ever. And it felt like, I don't know, it was just crazy to me, because for so long, throughout all the years, like, you know, being a teenager and being, you know, 17, 18, 19, I was just like, I thought it would have happened by now. I thought it would have happened by now. I worked so hard. I thought this was, you know, I thought this was God's plan for me. And it's so crazy, just in the last 2 years, throughout the vocal surgeries, how I realized, like, this was the true plan, and everything really was meant to be. You know, if I would have went on when I was 17, 18, my voice wasn't what I wanted it to be. I had a paralyzed vocal cord. So it took that many years, and it was just this was the plan, you know, and you just gotta trust it, you know. You gotta trust God. He knows what he's doing. For real.
What a testimony. Tell us and walk us through being on stage, the crowd's reaction when you hit some of those really, really high notes, the ovation that you got. You know, you went from being a star when you were having difficulties. You probably felt like you were walking that somewhat alone. Sure, you had your family, but, you know, your fans probably weren't able to share that as much. And then now you're back on stage. You're receiving a standing ovation and doing a wonderful job. Talk about the crowd reaction.
I was so nervous for what the crowd was going to think. I knew a lot of people who were watching or who were in the audience probably didn't even remember me. So it was basically like kind of starting over again and having to kind of win people over and the judges. I had never performed for these judges before. So it's kind of like you have to like win them over and get them to understand your 12-year story within a 2-minute period of a song, which is extremely hard to convey that message. And I worked really hard on trying to convey that emotionally in my voice and in my performance and in, you know, in my eyes and eye contact. And it takes a lot of work to really dive into, you know, a message that deep in 2 minutes of a song. And I was practicing Say Something, which is the song I performed, and I knew I had to practice it to the point to where I was in tears. Because once I found that point, then I would find that was the edge for me, and that was the boundary. Now, you don't want to cry completely on stage, but I had to find how far I had to go with my emotions to get to that point and then cut it back just a little bit. And that's what I worked on, and I felt like that was the best way to be able to convey my message to a new audience who didn't know me in only 2 minutes, which is really hard. And to see the audience on their feet and the judges on their feet right when I hit that high note, again, it's really hard because you can practice all you want, but when you're actually there on stage performing for a live audience, it's very hard. And I had to try very hard to not cross that boundary and start crying again. Because when you cry, that's like the first thing that usually goes is your voice starts quivering and shaking. So it was really hard to find that balance. But when I, you know, everything was worth it. All the practicing was worth it. All the hours and hours of speech therapy and months of, you know, not being able to talk. Everything just became worth it once I seen the audience on their feet and the judges on their feet. It just, everything just begins to make sense.
Now, America's Got Talent has been very good to our podcast. You're at least the fourth person to appear on the show that has been here. We've had Darcy Lynn on the podcast, and we've had Angelica Hale on the podcast. We've had Evie Claire on the podcast. And
oh, wow.
The show with, well, I think I've actually had Darcy twice, but one of the two shows with her is the highest listened to podcast I've ever done. Did you get a chance to meet either Angelica or Darcy while you were there?
I did get to meet Angelica, but I didn't get to meet Darcy. It's kind of hard because we were on, like, everybody's on different episodes. Mm-hmm. So the only time sometimes you're even going to run into them is if you're going to watch another show or another episode and they're there and you kind of see them backstage for a second. But I wish I could have met every single person.
Again, they've been, you know, hopefully they're going to listen there, and I get the chance to thank the people behind the scenes that have been so good to us. Thank you. The Kickstarter program that you kicked off, give us a little background on that and where that may go.
So basically, I wanted to do a Kickstarter that was going to launch after AGT, the Champions, and basically, I'm not with a major label. I don't have a manager or an agent. I'm like extremely new to this, and I'm coming into a new industry 12 years later. So I have been releasing singles for the last year under my own record label that I opened myself, Young Farine Records. So I wanted to do a Kickstarter to ask everybody to help and to be understanding of the fact that I know that they want so much music from me, and they want a new CD, and they want new songs and new videos and music videos, and that stuff is extremely, extremely expensive. And with me not being with a major label, it's kind of hard to do that on my own. So I did start the Kickstarter to ask for help and to kind of get everybody on the team and helping out and being a part of the journey. So it's actually been doing really well. So I'm excited. I know I'm definitely going to be able to get out new music before the summer.
I was told that you reached your goal in a couple of days and have surpassed. Your fans must be really excited for your future, and I'm sure you are too. Talk about where you think you're going to go from here.
So I've been writing a lot. Throughout the time that I couldn't really sing and I couldn't perform, I really got into songwriting a lot, and writing for me became like my new therapy. So I started writing a lot of songs, and I'm so happy to be able to be bringing them to life now and taking those songs into the studio. You know, some of them that I even wrote years ago, finally bringing them to life with my new voice and everything. It's been so amazing, and I think all the fans are going to be so happy with all the new music that's coming out. There's all different styles. There's something for everybody, and it's all going to be out definitely before the summer. We're going to be able to get it done. I have a new music video coming out, like, I think in the next couple weeks. Say Something, the full version that I performed on AGT, is actually up on Spotify and iTunes now, and that actually charted on the pop charts at number 51. Awesome. So that was pretty crazy, especially with not being with a major label and just kind of releasing it myself and doing all the artwork and everything, getting all that done myself, which is pretty, I was pretty in shock by that.
Well, you've been such a gracious guest here, and we just thank you for your time. Let me say a word of prayer with you. Father, we thank you for our new friend Bianca, and we just thank you for the testimony that she's given throughout the time we've been talking, how things started with the first season with America's Got Talent, and the success that she attained, and given you glory through the difficult times, through the surgeries and all of that, showing how that hard work, which is spoken of in the Bible, we just thank you for her example. We pray success over her career. Father, we obviously believe that she's got a lot of time to do some great things throughout her music and throughout her life with the testimony of what she's gone through, and so we ask a blessing upon that. Bless her family, bless those who work with her closely, and just thank you again, Father, for letting us have a new friend. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
All right.
For having me. I'm so honored. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I just want to let everybody know it's really important is really just keep the faith and know that God actually does have, you know, the best plan for you. I had to wait 12 years to realize that he was right. I'm glad I did. You know, it was worth the wait.
Well, and we're glad you did too. So thank you. Thank you to your your backstage people there at America's Got Talent for making this happen, and God bless you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, Bianca.
Bye.